Please turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. As we continue our study on the prophets of fire and water, the prophets Elijah and Elisha. This world is not a bed of roses. So long as we live in this world, we will surely be met with many challenges, difficulties, and tribulations. It is a world that is cursed by sin. It is a world that is beset with corruption. It is also a world that hates Christ. And so there will be times where we will face stormy winds. And when we meet these stormy winds, it is so tempting to think that we are all alone in this world. There is nobody to help us. There is nobody who understands us, and that we are all forsaken, that nobody remembers us. Yea, it may even seem as though God has forgotten us. And so, when we meet with such times, we may complain, we may murmur in our hearts, and we may even try to take matters in our own hands. Some of us may be even tempted to also compare our difficulties with our fellow men. Oh, why am I going through all these things? Why do I have to face a terminal illness? Why do I have to face such poverty? Why do I have to face such persecutions at work? Why do I have to face such difficulties serving the Lord? Why do I have to face such evil words because of a stand for the Lord? And then when I look around, my friends, or even those who are engaged in evil, seem to be having a better time than me. They can lie on their pillows, on beds of ease. Lord, have you forgotten about me? I seem all alone. Well, if that is the case, then we pray that the passage today will be of good comfort to you. For down here we find that the Lord will always remember those who are His own. But importantly, first you must ask yourself, are you His own? Because there is whom the Lord will remember. Who exactly will the Lord remember? Well, the Lord will remember those who are His own. And you see that here in 2 Kings chapter 8, that this person whom the Lord remembered was this woman, a woman whose name was not mentioned. But that is not important. What is important was that she was a woman of faith. And she was one of the two women of faith that was mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this woman that was mentioned down here is the Shunammite woman who was given this gift of hospitality. If you recall the earlier messages on her, she was the one who saw the prophet Elisha in her hometown, frequently bypassing her hometown on route, right, to be in prayer in a mountain. And so she very gladly offered him residence, and not only just residence, but a very comfortable residence. And she prepared specially a chamber from him. She prepared a bed, she prepared a stool and a candle, right, so that he may be able to do his work. And she even persuaded the husband to let him come in and to stay there. And, well, the Lord moved Elisha to inquire about this woman with regards to some good that can be done to her in thanksgiving. And lo and behold, it was found out that this woman, together with her husband, did not have a son, right, even in old age. And so Elisha prayed to the Lord, and the Lord, in order to show his favor, right, to this woman, in order to reward her for her faith, right, gave her a son. After that, the faith of this woman was tested, right, because this son, along the way, well, he fell dead. But the Lord raised the son up again unto life. And so the Lord was very good to this woman. He showed favor to her. But not just at that one point, right, in 2 Kings chapter 4. You realize here in 2 Kings chapter 8 that the Lord continued to remember this woman. He has not forgotten about her. In fact, the Lord remembered her, and the Lord kept her, the Lord preserved her through difficult times. He remembered her in difficult times. And so, down here, what we find happening is, even before, right, this difficult time would before her, right, the Lord already made provision to lead her and to guide her to safety. And so he sent the prophet Elisha to speak unto her, right, saying, well, arise and go down, and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou can sojourn. Right, so basically what Elisha was telling the woman is, well, it's time for you to get up and find temporary residence somewhere. Right, that's the meaning of the word sojourn. Right, the word sojourn means you find some place to stay temporarily. And why do you need to find a place to stay temporarily? Well, because soon there will be a famine. And even the years of this famine was told to this woman, well, this famine will come upon the land, right, the land of Israel, 7 years, right, 7 long years. So this time of sojourn will be 7 years. So soon you will come, get up, and find a place, right, a place where you may find shelter, a place where you may find food. And of all the places where she found shelter and food, guess where she found this shelter? Well, she found this provision in the land of the Philistines. And you know that the Philistines, they were arch enemies of the children of Israel. And in those days, you know, a lot of people, they have this wrong thinking that, you know, if you have to find refuge in a foreign land outside of Israel, means God has forsaken you. Because the land of the Philistines, was it the land of Jehovah? Well, the people in the world think, well, it's not the land that is called by Jehovah's name. So Jehovah is not in control. So if you go out of the land of Israel, means you are outside the care of Jehovah. Their concept of God, their concept of Jehovah, their concept of Christ was that of a localized God. Just like how sometimes we as Christians, we also think of God in such localized terms. It's as though we come to church worshipping God on Sunday, we are protected. After that, when we go out into the world, like we go back home, or no longer protected. And God is only present where? Present on Sunday, in this century, on Sunday only. After that, no more. Localized God. No. That's not the case. Even in a place where things may be so unfriendly to Christians. Right? Is the Lord there? Right? Are you in the Lord's presence? Well, very much so. Right? The Lord is not just the God of Israel, although He is, but He is the God of the entire world, the entire universe. All things are under His control. And everything and everywhere is in the presence of God at the same time. Yeah, this is the great God that we have. And not only just that, but the Bible tells us that our Lord is God who is all-knowing. And what we mean by all-knowing, we mean that, you know, He is infinite in terms of His knowledge. He does not add any knowledge to Himself, neither does can any knowledge be taken away from Him. Right? He knows everything. But not only just that, but what it also tells us is, with regards to our personal life, the Lord knows and the Lord understands and the Lord sympathizes with everything that is occurring in our life. Yes, the world may not understand. In fact, it is true. There is no one in this world that can perfectly understand what exactly you are going through. Even between husband and wives, do you think the wife fully understands what the husband is going through and the husband fully understands what the wife is going through? Of course not. One is the wife, the other one is the husband. You can never replicate it. But there is one in the world who fully knows and fully understands. And that is God Himself. So that is why nowadays when it comes to counseling, I'm a bit careful to say that I understand what a person is going through. No, actually not really. Even if I have gone through something before that is similar to the person, there will always be certain things that are unique in that particular situation in which that person is going through. Can I really fully understand? Maybe only certain aspects of it I can understand. But fully understand? Fully know? No. But there is one who fully knows, and that is God. And who is the one that is able to help? Well, man is often limited, right? We are finite creatures. And so therefore our power and ability to help is also limited. But who is the one that is able to help? Well, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, He is able to help. And so, when it comes to difficult times, the one that we must turn to is the Lord. And how thankful we are that the Bible here tells us that those who are His own, right, this woman, and these are women of faith, not fake faith like many of the children of Israel in those days, who says that, well, who mumbles the name of Jehovah but were actually worshippers of Baal. But this is a woman of genuine faith as seen in her hospitality, right, towards Elisha. And because she was truly the child of God, right, see how the Lord took care of her. Even right, bringing her to a place whereby traditionally were the enemies of Israel, and yet in this place of enmity, the Lord provided for her shelter and food for 7 good years. 7 good years. Not just 1 week, not just 2 weeks, not just a few months, not just 1 year, but 7 good years throughout the famine. Right, the Lord remembers. And interestingly, she didn't even know that this difficult time was going to come until Elisha came and directed her. And this is how sometimes the Lord can lead and guide us even in difficult times. So much so that, you know, even before the difficulty comes, the Lord actually makes preparation, right, for us that we may be protected from it. Or you may wake up one morning, and as you are about to drive off from work, you realize that you cannot find the car keys. Now, you are a very systematic person, you are very organized, and so you will usually put your car keys in a particular place. Right? Some of us may not be so organized, so we can place in many portions of the house, so we cannot find. Right? That one is whose fault? Our fault. But some of you here may be pretty organized. You have a very set place where you will place the key, maybe a key rack, or maybe a box, that position. So you know, if I go there in the morning, I will surely be able to find the key. And so, there you go. You try to find the key early in the morning as usual. But that particular morning, you try to find the key, and lo and behold, how come the key is not there? And so you start to wonder, and you start to search the entire house. Hey, why today like this? I'm always very systematic. I put the key here. Who could have taken my key? And so you ask your spouse, do you take my key? No, I did not take a key. You ask your children, do you take my key? No, I did not take my key. No pets in the house either, so cannot be the dog kick the key away. And so you search the house, high and low, high and low. You search for 30 minutes. And at the end of 30 minutes, you went to your key rack, or the place where you usually place the key, and the key is there. Somehow for 30 minutes, you just cannot discern that the key is there. You think that the key is missing. But actually, it was there all the time. And so, because you spent 30 minutes trying to find the key, now you have to take a different route to work. Because every morning, you try to get off from work early in order to beat the ERP. And ERP can be quite expensive in certain places. And so in order to circumvent the ERP, you will take a longer route. The longer route may take maybe 45 minutes or 1 hour compared to the short route that will force you to go through an ERP gantry. But because you spent 30 minutes looking for the key, so right now, what to do? You just have to go through the ERP gantry, otherwise you are late for work and then your boss will be angry with you. How can you be late at work today? There is a major project, you are still not here. Why are you late? Next time you better come early, otherwise I fire you. And so no choice. You go through the ERP gantry and then you watch as the ERP unit, right, the IU, vehicle IU goes beep, and then you see the amount being deducted. And then if there is not, you know, there's very little cash in your cash card, it goes beep, beep, beep along in your journey. And you know that, oh, that day you spend quite a bit of money on travel. Then you went to work, you sit down at your desk, you prepare for meeting, and lo and behold, you find that a lot of your colleagues are late. Why? Because on that day, on the route in which you are supposed to travel, there is a major traffic jam. Maybe a concrete truck fell over and then all the concrete spilled on the floor. And if you had gone early, you would have gone down that route and you would be stuck 2 hours in traffic and you'll be late for the meeting anyway. And the Lord preserve you. Now, things like that can happen. I'm sure some of you may have experienced that before, and I hope you remember to thank the Lord for all these things. Sometimes it could even be, oh, you are supposed to take a project, or you wanted to take a particular project, and everybody desired to be in that project group. And in the end, majority of your department put in that project group, right, which everybody is looking forward to participate. And then the boss says, no, I want you to take this other one. This other one nobody wants to take. Won't even gain any recognition doing it. And then you say, why am I being given this project? You know, all along I tried to be faithful in the workplace for the Lord. And then I'm given this lousy project. Nobody wants to do it. The Lord forgets about me. And then a few months down the road, this major project that everybody wants to take you to certain circumstances, perhaps in workplace or perhaps even in the world, the trade situation may change. And then now, that project is doomed to fail. And suddenly the project in which you are in now becomes a project favored by the company. Who brought that to pass? It's the Lord, isn't it? It's the Lord. Some of you students may want to get to a course, but the Lord changes your direction. Well, don't murmur, don't complain. The Lord has His way, the Lord has His plan. And sometimes you may find that all these things happen so that you may avert disaster. Perhaps the course in which you have set your heart to may be the worst course in which you can go. It doesn't suit your character, it doesn't suit your gifts at all, your talents at all. And then if you had gone in, you would have met with a disaster. But at the point of time, you did not know, and you wanted to push through. What the Lord had to do was to change your route, right? To direct you into a different place. You did not even know it. But the Lord was working, and now you are in a different course. The Lord can work in this way. And of course, we know that even in disaster, the Lord can continue to protect. The Lord can continue to shower us with His goodness. Yeah, even in these difficult times, I think those of us who are in Tabernacle BP Church, we must always be very thankful that at least at this point of time, we are spared from the virus. Are we spared from the virus because we are people who keep our social responsibility, washing our hands, following the MOH guidelines? Now, of course, we do our part in those areas. We must. But above all, who is it that keeps all of us free from all these things? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And for me, I'm also very thankful that the Lord has kept PSV Academy at this point of time free from virus. I'm also praying for them so that they may see the power of God. The Lord, right, remembers us even in this difficult time. But what happened if we are allowed to be afflicted with some of these things? Does that mean that God has forgotten us? No, of course not. It could be that the Lord purposely allows such things to happen so that our faith will shine. And you know that at the end of all these things, even if at the end we may perish in this world from these things, but that is not the end. We will be in the mansions above, in the new heavens and the new earth. You know that. So no, the Lord does not forget us. Not in difficult times. And the Lord does not forget us throughout all the days. Right? Throughout all the days. And that is why, you know, Psalm 23 is such a well-loved psalm. What is Psalm 23? You all know. It's the psalm that the Lord is our wonderful shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. That is the verse which people oftentimes remember. But don't forget verse 6 also. What does verse 6 say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A few important terms there. Firstly is the word surely. What does the word surely mean? Certainly. Certainly this will happen. And what will happen? Those who are God's sheep will experience God's goodness, will experience God's mercy, right? God, no, though we so deserve, right, to be punished by the Lord for many of the evils that we have done, yet the Lord is ever so merciful to us when we repent. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Well, the word follow there talks about what? How this goodness and mercy will pursue us all the days of our life. Right? The word follow has that picture, pursue. Chasing after you. Making sure that it's always with you. And not just some days of your life, not most days of your life, but the Bible there says all the days of your life. Until what? Until you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see from that particular verse, the Lord does not only remember us in certain particular difficult times, but the promise here is that the Lord will remember us throughout all our days, right? All the days. And that is exactly what you see down here. Right? Because after the 7 years of famine, what happened? Now the Bible here says, and it came to pass at the end of, at the 7 years' end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And lo and behold, as she went out of the land of the Philistines, she realized that things back home were not so favorable for her. Why? Because apparently there were other people that possessed her house and her land. Now, that is actually something that ought not to happen in the land of Israel. Remember, the land of Israel in those days, were, right, the rules that they were bound to were very much different from the rules that we have today. All the tribes, they were given a particular lot, and they were supposed to dwell in that lot. It's not for them to choose. If their lot was supposed to be in the mountain, well, they have to dwell in the mountain. If their lot was supposed to be in the sea, it has to be in the sea. You cannot pick and choose, and you cannot choose sometimes to live in the mountain and then after that live in the sea, and then after that, oh, I decide to live in the plains, right, in the Midlands. No such thing. Today I want to live in sea resort, smell East Coast air, I go and live in East Coast. Then after that I get sick and tired of it, I want to smell Bukit Timah mountain air, as though it's a mountain. Then I choose to live at Bukit Timah, smell mountain or Mount Faber air. No such thing. You stay in the land in which the Lord has allotted to you, and even within the tribe itself, within the families, right, the Lord will appoint, yes, this place, this place, this place, this place, this place. And so with regards to this lady and her husband, they would have been assigned that particular place, and nobody is supposed to possess the house and the land of that lady. Right? It should be kept there for their use. But remember, those days were days of great spiritual declension. And so the children of Israel, many of them, they would not have obeyed the rules. And so, well, since they are not there, let me take possession and let me use it. And when they finally came back, well, nobody wanted to return the land back to her. And so she had no land after coming out from the land of the Philistines. Can you imagine? Well, in the land of the Philistines, she could find her refuge, but when she came back to Israel, no place to stay, no residence. And so she went to cry to the king. And it so happened that at this time, the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Now, this is interesting because what it means is that when we study the book of 2 Kings on the life of Elisha, is not written in chronological order. How do we know this? Because when we read of certain accounts before this, right, it seems as though Gehazi had already been struck down with leprosy. Remember? Right? The incident of Naaman. Now, if somebody had been struck down with leprosy, they would not have been able to appear in the king's court. They would have been isolated, they would be in quarantine, they would have been cast out of the cities that were in the land. So what this meant is that this whole incident that you have seen down here happened before the incident of Gehazi. But what it will also mean is to tell us that this person who was speaking to the king, was he actually a good man? Remember, what Gehazi did in order to get afflicted by leprosy was to sell out the ministry. So this wasn't a man who was faithful. This wasn't a man who truly loved the Lord. This was a man who was later willing to sell out the entire ministry of the Lord that was committed to him for certain changes in clothes, for silver and for gold. So this was the man that was talking to the king. Right? So he was not even a good and godly man. This was a man that later on would be known to be a betrayer of the Lord in his service. And down here, though, can the Lord use this particular person, even though this particular person was a rotten egg, in order to do his purpose? He can. Down here, of all the times, Gehazi, this servant of the man of God, was talking to the king. And he was talking, of all the things that he was talking about the king, he was not talking about the sun, he was not talking about the clouds, he was not talking about any of the issues that were in Israel, neither any of the issues that were in the land of Judah. He was talking about the great things which the Lord had used Elisha to do. And one of the things that he was sharing to the king at the point of time was how Elisha brought to life the dead body of the boy of a woman. Of all the incidences, this particular incident. And when this particular incident was shared to the king, at that very same moment, this woman, of all the women in the world, appeared into the king's court together with the boy. And so this incident was very, very fresh in the mind of the king. And who was this king? Mind you, this king was a descendant of Ahab. This king was not a godly king. This king was a person who, at the end of his life, the Lord's assessment of him was that he was an evil man who did not walk in his ways. So he was not a good king at all, remember. So not a good servant, sharing all this information to this king, and this king was not a good king in the first place. So you have evil servant, evil king, talking about all these things. What is humanly, right? What is the thing that will come to your mind humanly of what would happen to this particular lady? Evil servant, evil king. This is a king whose first disposition would be what? Would be to think of himself rather than to think of other people. A selfish man. And yet, down here, somehow, what the king heard was the account of this particular woman whom the Lord has chosen to bless through the ministry of the prophet Elisha. And the king's heart was moved. The king's heart was moved. Who moved the heart of the king? It is the Lord. It's the Lord who moved the heart of the king. Now what happened down here is restated most beautifully in the book of Proverbs, right? So you just leave your bookmark at 2 Kings chapter 8. You turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. And I pray that you all will remember this verse. Right. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. And here, God's word says, right, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will, right? Whithersoever he pleases. So even right, the hearts of the people in authority is in the hand of the Lord, is under the Lord's direction, is under the Lord's control. And down here, right, is definitely the case. You know, the word rivers of waters. Right, the word rivers is an interesting word. It's not the usual word for rivers. Right here, the word rivers would refer to streams, would refer to the tributaries of a river. And what are tributaries of a river? Well, when we talk about a river, there is the upstream and then the downstream. Right, this would be right, the streams right, from the various sources of water leading into the main body of water that would rush down. Now, if you talk about the tributaries of the river, one thing you would know, right, if you have studied geography before, right, some of the young people would know, is that these tributaries, they do not remain constant. In the seasons, well, they can change their course. Yeah, even within the same season, they may change their course due to changing weathers, due to changing land patterns. Sometimes they can go to the left, but after that, they may go to the right. And that's why people sometimes, when they are doing picnic, you know, around the area where you have these tributaries, sometimes they can caught by surprise because the streams can suddenly change and then rivers of waters can suddenly come gushing upon them and then they have to run for safety. So tributaries, they can change their course anytime. Sometimes it seems as though it's in an unpredictable fashion. But of course, we know that all these things are in the hands of the Lord. And so with regards to the king's heart, it's also the same. You think that the king's heart may not be in favor, but the Lord can turn it and then the Lord can make it favorable for the situation of the saint. And that is what the lady, that is what the Lord did here also in 2 Kings chapter 8. Of all the things that were told to the king, it must be this incident. And somehow, Gehazi, the way he told this incident to the king must have moved this king so much that his heart was already prepared right, to deal with kindness to this woman. And of all times, the woman came. And it's as though this is a lesson in life. You know? Right, like how you teach young children, sometimes the best way to teach young children is what? When you teach young children about a particular concept or science, you bring that, right? You bring the actual object right, to class. You want to teach a young child how a plant grows, well, make the child grow the plant. Right? Grow the bean sprout and see for... And the child can see for himself or herself how the seed grows, right? How the seed germinates, and after that it can grow up to be a plant. And now, after talking about all this story, now the actual woman and the actual boy is before the king. And of all the people who will recognize this woman and this son, it is Gehazi. Gehazi was there himself, present in the incident, isn't it? He witnessed everything that has happened personally. And so when he saw this particular woman and this particular boy coming into the court, he straight away told the king, yes, this is exactly that woman and exactly that boy which I have been talking to you about. And so when the king asked the woman, she told him all the things that has happened to her when she came back from the land of the Philistines, and the king was so moved in his heart. Moved by what? Moved by the Lord. To appoint her a certain officer, so that she may indeed receive that which truly belonged to her, so that everything will be restored unto her. And the Bible even makes sure to tell us that all the land, all the fruits of the field that belonged to her, she was still in possession at the writing of this, or the penning of this particular passage of scripture. Do not miss out the words at the end of verse 6. She had all these fruits of the field even until now, even until the writing of this particular passage of scripture. So the Lord gave it to her, and the Lord continued to preserve her in that place. The Lord remembered her all the days of her life until she truly reached the house of the Lord. Yes, yeah, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord remembers His own. How comforting, isn't it? Is this passage of Scripture? It should be something that comforts us in these times where there is a lot of uncertainty in the world, a lot of fear in the world. But not only these times, it should be something that comforts us throughout all the days of our lives. For the young people, it should comfort you now when you're in school. Later, when you grow up, when you go to work, this should also be something that comforts you. When you grow as a, and then when you grow old, some of you may get married, it should comfort you. If you are single, it should also comfort you. You are never alone. And then after that, when you reach your golden years, when affliction start to happen to your body, this should also be your comfort. Even for parents, sometimes when you get older and then your children get married off, sometimes it can be quite discomforting, right? You start to see, oh, this young boy, this young girl, I've seen this person grow up, now suddenly this person is not at home anymore, no, the walls seem empty. Yeah, when they were young, you wish that the children would be taken away from you because it was so hard to look after the children, right? Every time running about, you have to go and chase for your child. You want to chase your child, chase here, chase there. Well, it seems as though the child is impossible to catch, impossible to stay still. Suddenly, in the blink of an eye, the child now is married and then they set up their own home. Set up their own home. And then, now, the only time where you can get to experience the sound of your child is when your child calls you or the child comes to visit you. Seems so lonely, right? But no. The Lord still remembers you. All these changes can happen in your life, but one thing will never change is that you are always remembered by the Lord. But you must always remember the prerequisite. The first question that you must remember is this: are you belonging to Him? Are you His own? Because God remembers His own. So the key question is, are you His own? You can only belong to the Lord if firstly you truly repent of your sin and you truly believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, shedding His precious blood on the cross, and that He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. You truly repent and then you truly cling on to Him. And the Bible tells us that those of us who truly believe in this shall not have eternal condemnation, but will have eternal life. And that no man shall be able to take us away from our Father. That is what the Scripture says to us. Now that you belong to Him, you are now the apple of the eye of the Lord. And the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will remember you. He will not forsake you. We pray that you must understand this. First, you ask yourself this question: do you belong to Him? Very, very critical. Because if you belong to Him, what you read today in 2 Kings chapter 8 is your assurance. God remembers His own. He is the ever faithful God. We have such a wonderful friend in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are always under the care of the Lord the Almighty. The one who is eternal, the one who is immortal, the one who is invisible, the one who is the God only wise. This is our comfort in our life. And so may the Lord encourage you today with this precious word of Scripture. Are you forgotten if you are His own? No. God always remembers His own. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, how we thank Thee for these precious words of comfort that we have in Scripture. These women of faith who strive to walk diligently in Your ways, looking after the saints, looking after the men of God, how, O Lord, You have found it fit to keep her in Thy care, that her testimony may continue to shine for Thee in this world of darkness. Surely, O Lord, Thou art with her. Surely we can see Thy good hand in her life, the favor which Thou hast bestowed upon her. And we know, Lord, that those of us who are truly accounted to be Thy own have also the same promise from Thee. Yea, help us, O Lord, to have faith to cling on to this promise. We are ever in thy care. And so, Lord, may thou assure thy people, may thou keep thy people always in perfect peace. Help all of us to always have our minds focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is him whom we trust. It is him who we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.